This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm going to call this meeting to order at 12:15. Let's see if Michelle is on here to do roll call.
Yep, I'm here. Starting with Susan Berry. Joseph?
Present.
Marin?
Here.
Jackie?
I see you're here.
Here, yeah.
Jamie?
Here.
Brenda? I see Brandon. Brian?
Affirmative.
Andrea?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. And I see Deborah Howell. Emily Ivory? Oops. Rigel? Christine? Virginia?
Happy New Year.
Hi. Jen, Michael? Ashley Miller?
Here.
You have a new screen thingy. Ellen Miller?
Here.
Mary Newhart? Here.
Here.
Michelle? Nassar?
Here.
Kate will be here, but she's going to be running a little bit late. Kit is here. Laura Taylor. Jessica Townley.
Here.
Caitlin Wilcox. Jessica Withers is here, I see, and Lisa Zacharias. Okay, and I see Christine popped on, so looks like we do have quorum.
Yeah, I think Susan Berry also popped on a little bit late.
And I saw Brenda.
Yeah.
And Susan. Oh, wonderful. Okay, good. Great.
So thank you for roll call, Michelle. Let's move on to the approval of the minutes from December 16th, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from December 16th?
So moved.
Do I get a second?
Seconded.
Great. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, the minutes from December 16th, 2020 have been approved. Moving on to the business of the day. The first item is the discussion of EAR5. When we last met last year, Happy New Year, everyone, by the way, there was a Resolution 5 that was presented, and then we moved the vote online. And from this online vote, we received a motion from Michelle Podlick to suspend the vote and to bring us back into discussion to discuss R5. I don't see her here with us, so I'm going to read to you her commentary on R5. She mentioned that her vote on this resolution, R5, is no, because she thinks it's a bit too soon to celebrate reinstatement of benefits. It's hard to tell what the budget for 2021 would look like, and she's not sure if additional sacrifices will be required. There's no news from New York State on what the budget cuts might look like. She appreciates the administration's hard work to keep Cornell on a positive course, but she's not supportive of the resolution as it is. She would be supportive of this resolution immediately if the piece about staff benefits were removed. So that is her her input on R5. I want to open up the floor right now for discussion on R5. As a reminder, R5 was a resolution thanking the administration for reinstating the benefits and for their leadership. So I'm now going to open up the floor. Please use the participants raise your hand functionality or physically raise your hand if you're unable to do so. And then I'll call upon you to speak. So it looks like Ellen's hand is raised.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I also do not support the resolution. I feel we sent a resolution thanking the administration during the summer session for all the information that they gave and the fast response that they had during the summer when we were first, inundated with all of the COVID information and campus was closing and reopening, and we did send them a resolution at that time thanking them for their support. I don't feel that it's necessary to send them another one. I just, regardless of whether it has the benefit information or not, I just think it's not really necessary. Like, they're doing what they need to do and we're all doing what we need to do, and I just think it's a little extra.
Thank you, Ellen. Are there any other thoughts on this? Please raise your hand to continue this discussion. Marin?
I very much agree with the notes that I think it was Michelle left. I think that, an extra day off is certainly worthy of being, sending a thank you, because we all like an extra day off. But I am with Ellen and her on this in that, our compensation is in exchange for the work that we do. And so it seems a little strange to not only with the timing, but also to thank them for giving back something that is in exchange for our work. Although I also want to echo the sentiments that I appreciate their openness and their commitment to their schedule in evaluating whether or not that was possible.
Well said, Marin. Brian, you're next.
Yes, so I'm still in support of the resolution for a couple reasons. One, restoring our benefits that they took away. There's no guarantee that they had to do that, and they did, in good faith, restore them. The other thing is they gave us an extra day off. I thought that was commendable, and I also appreciate that they kept our the healthcare premium at the same levels as they did the previous year. We haven't seen that in a while. So there are some things that they're trying to do to help during this time. And I think that showing appreciation for what they have done and what they are doing is worthwhile, and it doesn't hurt. I don't think that there's an old saying, you get more with sugar than you do with spice. And this is a kind of reference to that. So I am supportive of the resolution still. And I just want to throw that out there.
Thank you, Brian. Nasser, your hand is raised.
Yes, I want to echo the sentiment by echo in agreement the sentiments expressed by Ellen and Marin. I would agree with their perspective. I do think that psychopathy is the word that comes to mind when I think about this method of going to an otherwise noble aim. I think, there's doesn't have to be a zero-sum decision between sugar and spice or whatever the analogy just given was. There's 146 other options, and not doing one is also one of those options. And so for the reasons proffered by Ellen and Marin, I support their position and agree with that. Thank you.
No, sir. Kit, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I would say I'm kind of in the middle on this. I can go both ways, but I'm thinking – maybe, and that's honestly after this discussion, and I understand the sentiments on both sides. I guess I'm wondering if there's a way to maybe modify the resolution, because I think in our everyday jobs, it's still nice every once in a while to know that, you know, to get a thank you, so to speak, that we're doing a good job and a reminder of that. And I do think Cornell, I know a lot of us take Cornell for, how do I say this? I think a lot of us, you know, expect what we get out of Cornell, which is what we do, A lot of what we consider to be fair and just treatment for employers is not ubiquitous in this country, especially. So, and I know that one of the big concerns back in June when they were looking at cutting our retirement is that there was the fear that our retirement contributions would not return to their previous levels. And quite frankly, the university has the liberty to do that. So the fact that they did follow through and do that, and it wasn't just lip service to the staff, I do think deserves at least a little bit of some recognition in that.
Okay, thank you, Kit. So is there anybody else with feedback in regards to EAR5? So a couple of things that we can do. We can, somebody can make a motion to go ahead and vote on the resolution. We can make a motion to table the resolution, maybe work on it within the committee and then bring it back for a vote. So I leave it up to you all to kind of determine which path you would prefer. So anybody can submit a motion right now to either vote or table this resolution. Kit, I see your hand is still raised. I'm not sure if you want to make a motion.
I'll make a motion, and I don't know if this is appropriate EA process, but if to vote, and then so we actually get a pulse on what the EA is thinking, and then if it is not approved, then perhaps the BPC can take it back to the drawing board.
Okay, I like that suggestion. So do I get a second on a motion to vote on this resolution? So I see it from Brian. Any dissent? Seeing none. Please go ahead and use your participants function. Please click on yes to vote yes. If you're an employee assembly member that wants to move this resolution forward, vote no. If you would prefer maybe to move this back into the BPC for review, additional work, and then bring it back to the floor. So we do have quorum now. We would need a majority vote. Right now we've got 11 no's and 2 yeses.
Sorry, can you please repeat the question? I feel like that just got really jumbled and complicated. What's the actual, like, yes or no question that we're voting
on? Sorry. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. So this is a vote in support of Resolution 5. So are we voting yes, we're going to move this forward, to get a pulse on, you know, how it feels? And if it's no, if the majority is no, then we're going to move it back to the BPC. So it's basically, are you voting yes in support of the Resolution 5 or no? So
just a note that the voting has moved to the reactions button. If you have the most recent version of Zoom, it's now in the reactions, not in the participant.
Oh, okay. I did not know that, because in mine it's under.
If you've updated to the most recent version, it allows you to vote, and it also allows co-hosts to raise their hands
good to
now.
No, thank you. Right now I'm seeing 12 no's, 3 yeses. Gina, can you remind me of how many staff, how many EA members we have? I thought that we had 28. This includes a shared seat with Susan and Virginia.
I'll take a quick look. I thought we had done that, right. I thought we were at 29, but let me take a quick look right now.
Sorry, is anybody else getting the error where their vote goes away or they're unable to vote using the reactions or the participants functionality?
I'm reacting, but it goes away after a couple of seconds. So I don't know if you're counting all the votes because when you react and then it just goes away. Like it doesn't stay like it used to, the vote. Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to the participants functionality, there's no yes or no anymore?
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Use the chat.
So as of right now, I'm seeing 11 no's, 4 yeses. So we have a vote of 15, which is the majority.
Why don't we use the chat?
We can use the chat if people are comfortable. Gina?
Yeah, so we had 29, but I just forwarded an email from Michelle Podolik.
Okay.
So I think we're at 28, so.
Okay. And does this include the shared seat between Susan and Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. So it is 28. Right now I'm seeing some voting come in through the chat. So we got 11 no's, 4 yeses through the participants functionality. We've got 4 no's and 2 yeses. So we're at a vote of 15-6. With this, the resolution does not pass. This resolution is going to move back into the BPC committee for revision. I'm going to clear all the votes here. But again, the final vote is 15 no's and 6 yeses. So I think moving forward, I'll try to work with the Office of the Assemblies. Maybe we'll move the voting functionality to a different system for voting because I don't think everybody has the same system. So I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize that people had updated their Zooms and didn't have the same functionality. So we're going to have to work on that. Yes, I agree. This should be done with a poll. So moving on to our next item on the business of the day, we have staff forum update. So when we last met, we had discussed the staff forums. I think there was discussion in regards to, you know, what does the future of the staff forums look like? Are we going to include senior leadership? At what point do we include senior leadership? I think there's this question of when we all meet and ask these questions, we want to make sure that the content, you know, is going to be particularly helpful and really provide staff members with information that they need and will be helpful for them. So I know that there was discussion and support for an education staff forum. So this would include members of the employee debrief program, CU Learn, I think the School of Continuing Education. So different staff education opportunities sort of brought together to discuss, you know, what is available to staff, you know, how do you access these, you know, resources and allow staff to sort of ask questions and be involved in you know, trying to figure out how to access these resources. So that is something that I am going to be working in conjunction with Jessica Withers on. Jessica Withers, thank you so much for chairing the Education Committee. We'll meet, I believe, tomorrow to discuss what the future of this upcoming staff forum is going to look like. Outside of the education staff forum. I do want to sort of ask you all, you know, in light of current events with the vaccine, in light of the priorities poll kind of telling us about what is important to staff in regards to wellness and then also with campus climate and also with students returning in February. Where do you all, you know, what would you all like to see in terms of the future of these staff forums? I'd like everybody to feel involved in the process, engaged, and really figure out a way for the employee assembly to be more involved, you know, as involved as, you know, you have the bandwidth to be. So I want to open up the floor for discussion on the future of the staff forums, knowing that on the horizon, we're hoping to have an education staff forum, but the rest of the year, we're really open, and we have nothing sort of planned and on the agenda. So with that, I'm going to open up the floor for discussion. Again, feel free to use the hand raise functionality. Jessica Withers?
Wasn't there talk about like a mid-level administration forum
rather than the senior administration, it was more of like say the university librarian and I talked about mental health. Wasn't there something, didn't we talk about that at one point?
Yes. So that's, you bring up a good point. This stemmed from the Cornell Wellness panel that we had. We had this idea that that circulated in this group about connecting an employee assembly member with a member of senior leadership, you know, much like what you suggested, and then recording a video and then providing it at some point and publicizing it somehow, which would provide a good opportunity for employee assembly members to be in touch with, you know, some member of senior leadership to have this or these sort of conversations and dialogues. And we did record one. Christy Mahoney was able to get in touch with the Dean of Human Ecology and then have a conversation around wellness. And that is recorded and available. And I think we've been trying to envision how that would look moving forward, if that would be something that we incorporate into the staff forums as, you know, a video clip, or if that would just be a different series. So thank you for reminding me of that. I don't think the conversation around that has moved, quite to the stage where we've really formalized a plan around those conversations. Mary, your hand is up.
Yes, I just quickly wanted to add CLASP to the list for the educational forum, since they've presented to the education committee before and we've been working with them.
Yeah, so that is something that I will discuss with Jessica tomorrow, and then we'll talk about who the guest should be, what the format of the staff forum should be, if it should be a panel, if it should just be people introducing themselves and then allowing for staff members to ask questions. So all of that I'm hoping to discuss with Jessica tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ellen?
I just in general would like to say that I very much support the staff forums that we have been doing. I can see a variety of different topics that would be great to hear. I would just like to put out that I think that greater involvement from the EA body rather than just the executive committee would be really appreciated. I would love to see everyone's faces on the forums. I would love to have the Cornell community get to know each of the EA reps, not just the exec committee reps. So I think if we can have, if people are interested in volunteering to present on the panels or to do the Q&A or those types of things, just to get more faces and more people out there, I think that would be really great.
Thank you, Ellen. And I agree. I really want, employee assembly members to feel engaged and a part of the work that we're doing, whether that's in the committees or through these staff forums. So I really open the floor up for this dialogue and seeing, what everybody's thoughts are on upcoming, potential staff forums. If you have any suggestions, feel free to get in touch with me. If you have any feedback, any suggestions for improvement, please let me know. Brian, your hand is up.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find it right now, but we get these emails from Deb Billups about the ongoing activities and stuff on Cornell and at Cornell. And I thought that might be an interesting one to have, maybe have somebody come in and provide resources, all the different resources that are available to staff while they're at home, and open up windows and opportunities there. I know I just got one just recently, and there was a ton of stuff that she listed, and just those resources are invaluable, I think. And the reason I say do it in a forum fashion is because I deal with frontline workers all the time. And it's very rare that they're going to get those emails. The custodial staff, I know, don't get a lot of – they don't check a lot of their emails. Or I have some custodians that never even – I tell them, have you checked your email? What's that? So I think that'd be beneficial for them because I do know that they go to the forums.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion. Maybe I will add this to the discussion. In regards to education training opportunities. Kate, you have your hand raised.
I think think a lot of people don't, even if you do read your emails, the Deb Phillips, I think, where the well-being newsletter from HR goes to supervisors, and I don't think we all get that. Deb, so if someone can correct me on that, I know there's one that occasionally makes its way to us because it has to get from HR to the supervisors and then to employees, which there are many places along that way for it to fall apart.
Yeah, the well-being newsletter just goes to HR, and it's on HR to send it out to their units.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and that's spotty, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Thank you. Is there any other feedback, Kit?
I was going to say that I am not supervisory, and I have an email from Deb on Monday that was sent to workforce development list. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, that's a public list, but the well-being list is, you can't opt into that. It only goes to HR. I wish it was an opt-in list.
It only goes to HR staff?
Yep.
Okay.
For well-being at Cornell, yes.
Okay, Andrea, I see your hand is physically raised.
Yeah, you can opt into it, though, because Deborah, I've had that problem that we would not get it through an HR function typically, and I think part of it was going to clutter, and so I was able to opt into it directly. So
I was not. I tried.
Really? Did you talk to Michelle?
Yeah, and I was told that for now, yes, you can. I get it as well. Well, I'll check again. How's that?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So for now, seeing no other hands raised on the discussion for the staff forums, on the agenda for staff forums is the learning, the education, educational opportunity staff forum that I'm hoping will occur sometime in January. Moving forward, if you have any ideas or suggestions or upcoming staff forums, please email them to me. I'm hoping maybe we can get something on the agenda, a staff forum with Paul Streeter and Joanne DiStefano to discuss the budget for 2021, or perhaps, as students are returning, we can meet with Ryan Lombardi to talk about, that process and maybe ask any additional questions that might be relevant. So I'm hoping maybe those could be on the agenda. And if people want to sign up to, as Ellen said, participate, ask questions, or, be a part of the panel that sort of introduces everyone, I do want to, make sure that employee assembly members feel engaged and are part of the process and feel comfortable providing feedback and have these discussions on these staff forums. They are very public facing and they are a good opportunity to provide information and resources to staff. So I want everybody to feel a part of this process. So moving forward from business of the day, let's move on to committee reports. Michelle, you are first with the executive committee report.
We met on December 18th. We discussed the resolution that we just voted on, and then we also discussed some student resolutions and the condemning of hate speech and racism. I'm not sure where we're at with moving forward with a resolution on that, but that is in the works from the exec committee. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move on to the Communications and Awards Committee. Ellen?
I do not have an update because I am unprepared for this meeting. We canceled our committee meeting prior to break so that we could finish wrapping up our work responsibilities. And then we were scheduled to have one yesterday, which I also canceled because I at the last minute decided to extend my vacation. And it was very awesome. And I'm just now trying to get back into work stuff. So I apologize. I do not have an update. We are planning on putting out a EA Voice newsletter this month. We had at our last committee meeting a few weeks ago now, we had talked about January 19th as the possible date for that newsletter. So that's what we kind of have tentatively in the books for now. But that may change depending on if we get a date booked for the education forum or any other important events or things that are coming up this month. So that is all I have for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Moving on to the education committee, Jessica.
Yes, so no real update. We haven't met or anything. We have a meeting coming up later in January, I believe. But after you and I talk, tomorrow about the staff forum, then I will email out to the committee. I just not have having ever planned a staff forum before, I'm not sure what to ask the committee until I have more info from you. So that's the only reason I've held off on contacting them.
Sounds good, Jessica. Moving on to the welfare committee, Christine.
Hello. We just had a meeting prior to this. We spent on the first part of our meeting with a discussion from Deborah as chair of the veteran CNG. We learned about their model for engagement and their activities and initiatives, and discussed possible collaborations. Very great meeting, very good discussion. It led beautifully into a discussion of wellness, and both Michelle Arteby with Work Life and Ruth Merle Doyle with wellness discussed the programming that they have coming for spring, focused on mental wellness. Which there is a great amount, and Ellen and Jessica will both have those, so there's partnerships possible with both of those groups. We discussed briefly the lack of guidance, work from home, employee work from home guidance. The university promised communication before November break, and we still don't have it. And as of Monday, there is no timeline on providing that guidance. I expressed some issues that we experienced in my college resulting from that lack of guidance, and so we'll be seeking some information about that. And then there was a brief update from transportation around the suspension of some parking restrictions and additional support to some permit holders in the A lot during the break and through beginning of classes. We'll be having the first week of February a joint meeting between Welfare and the Benefits and Policies Committee, hosting Linda Kroll Howell to discuss results of the Blunget Cornell survey. And that's all I have.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot to ask if anybody had any questions for any of the chairs. I'm looking for any hands raised. Seeing none, I will move on to Benefits and Policy Committee. Brian?
Well, I don't have much to report since the last meeting because we haven't had a meeting since our last one. Our last meeting was on the 15th, just before the Employee Assembly meeting, I believe, which was on the 16th. And so I went over those notes. Christine took my thunder away. I'm going to be sending an email as soon as we get confirmation from Linda Kroll Howell to the Benefits Policy Committee. We're going to have to readjust our normal time on Tuesday to meet to see if we can all meet on Wednesday so we can be at her meeting and get the same information and kind of so it doesn't have to be so repetitive and make it a little bit easier. Other than that, that's all. Oh, and now we're going to look at R5 again. From the sounds of it. So I'll be scheduling that soon and go from there.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing no hands raised, we're going to move on to the final committee, which is Nasser on the Elections Committee.
There are no updates to report at this time.
Thank you. And now we're moving on to new business. So this is a great time for open discussion. Have any issues been brought to your attention that you want to discuss with the body as a whole? Are there any things that you're working on that you, you know, want to discuss with the entirety of the EA body? I see that Michelle's hand is raised, so I'm going to send the floor over to her.
So I think I would like to take this opportunity for us to discuss the retreat as an entire employee assembly body rather than just the executive committee. There's Mary Opperman is not available until February, and I wanted to sort of take the temperature of the entire EA in whether we should move forward with having a retreat and then have Mary join us at an EA meeting when she's available, or do we want to have our retreat in February? I bring this up is I know a lot of folks will be ramping up towards the end of January when classes resume in February, so I wanted to bring this opportunity for a discussion as the whole EA rather than four people on the executive committee making a decision.
Thank you, Michelle. I see Brian's hand is raised.
So yeah, I'm kind of, I guess that would mean, so I've been to many different kinds of retreats. It depends on what the retreat's got in store before I can answer that. I don't know what we're planning on doing and if the need is great for Mary to be there or not. So I guess it depends on how we're going about our doing our retreat and what's the plan.
So I think my understanding is it's going to be a half day, maybe 3 to 4 hours, either in the morning or the afternoon. And a lot of the discussion will be centered around the priorities poll, is my understanding. And AA can elaborate if it's beyond that. But
yes, I'm hoping that we'll be able to review the priorities poll. Each of the committees will have a report by then of key themes from the priorities poll. All of the feedback related to, you know, votes for their, you know, committee for their issues, you know, related to the work within their committee. And I'm hoping that there'll be a good discussion broadly around, you know, what the steps are forward, you know, what are some things that we should be working on, having a conversation around, you know, the feedback and also the work that we should be doing based on the priorities poll, based on, you know, the feedback that we've been given, perhaps anecdotally within our own, you know, units. Because sometimes some of the feedback might be specific to a certain unit, but I'm hoping aggregated priorities poll data, our own, you know, information in regards to what we're seeing around campus, it'll help guide, you know, some of the more directional work that we hope to do. So I hope that answers your question, Brian.
Yep.
Are there any other comments in regards to the retreat? Would people rather wait until February so that Mary is able to participate within the retreat? She usually shows up for the first hour or so, provides, her feedback on what she's been seeing, provides, you know, some support for the employee assembly, you know, sticks around a little bit sometimes to kind of have conversation, or would we prefer it just to be employee assembly and then we issue a doodle poll with all dates in January and February and just see, you know, what is the best date. I want to be cognizant and aware of what everybody's schedule is going to look like in February as, you know, the students return and maybe the availability isn't as great as maybe a January timeline. I know that there was discussion in regards to potentially having a December retreat, but we just were not able to organize that in time. So I see that Ellen has her hand raised and then Jessica. Ellen.
I just want to say that I think people need time. If it's going to be a half day event, people need time to request off from their supervisors a half day of work. So I don't think it's something that we can just say, okay, let's do this next week. Like we need to give at least a couple weeks notice so that people can ask their supervisors for time off. But I'd say let's do it whenever. So yeah, send the poll around and let's go for it. But we just need to be cognizant that people need that time.
Thank you, Ellen. Jessica?
That's sort of what I was going to say. We're already so late in the year that it seems like waiting until February for Mary just delays and makes our year even shorter. However, what the odds are of getting us all together in January, I don't know what those odds are. It might not actually feasibly happen until February anyway. So I think just start trying to schedule it.
Thank you. So should we bring this to a vote for all employee assembly members to see if we should just send out a doodle poll for January, February, just see what is the best date? Or would we prefer to stick to maybe just February dates? It sounds like from what I'm hearing, people would be open to January, February, send out that doodle poll, see, you know, what is the best date, and then we'll move forward from there with the retreat. Are there any motions for a vote on this?
I can make a motion that we send a doodle poll for looking at dates for January and February for a potential retreat.
Great. I second that. Can you all use the participants functionality? This is a vote for January and February. We're sending out a doodle poll. We do not mind that Mary is not able to join us in January if that's what the best available date is. Okay, it seems like most of the votes right now are yes. I see no dissent. I see 16 yeses. Kate, I see your hand is raised. As a yes. Okay, so as of right now, I'm seeing about 17 yeses and no nos. So let's move forward with the doodle poll. We'll try to get the best available date. This will be a half-day retreat. And really, again, the goal is to review the priorities poll data, have a discussion in regards to these key issues, and then move forward from there. And then I'm hoping this will help guide a lot of the work within the committees. Michelle, I see your hand is raised.
Oh, I have to pay attention to chat and swell, and so I got a message saying that it is a possibility that we could maybe expand the existing EA meeting either before or after. If that is an it would be make a better option for more people. I've never experienced any supervisor ever taking 2 weeks to approve any time off given the new workday system. So I'm maybe a little more spoiled than others, but just going back, where this vote was for opening up January and February dates, not just sticking to the February dates. And then if Mary would be able to attend for a small portion or if at all. Okay. Just clarify that. Thanks.
All right. So I believe that ends our discussion on the retreat. Are there any other topics that anybody wants to bring to the floor? I'm going to look for any hands raised. Okay, I see Brian and Lisa, so I'm going to begin with Brian.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if – I guess I'll just throw it out there. I'm concerned with what's happening with COVID right now, as many are. But I'm seeing a lot of people getting affected by that. I have a staff member just today who's lost both grandparents due to COVID. And I'm wondering if there's any resources available as far as is there a COVID group or is there something that we can refer people to just for the people that are, like a COVID support group or something. I wish I could provide more resources for the staff or the people that I know. I'm hearing it in my community. I'm hearing it here at Cornell. I'm hearing it all over. And as this thing vamps up, I think we're going to all hear a little bit more of somebody that we know or somebody that we run across that's contracted COVID, and some people are suffering from it. Some aren't, some are. I don't know if anybody's got any info on that. If they've got any resources, I'd be most interested.
Thank you, Brian, and I'm really sorry about your staff member. So I see some hands raised. I know Lisa had her hand raised and Kit had her hand raised, but I want to open the floor for discussion on if anybody knows any COVID support groups or if that's something that we can maybe connect with HR about. Kit, I see your hand just raised. I'm going to send the floor over to you.
My hand is raised for it's a circle back to the retreat discussion. So if we want to focus on COVID for now, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to continue with Brian's discussion and then we'll circle back to the retreat discussion. So I see in the chat that Chrissy has provided FSAP, so that's a resource. Ellen?
I unfortunately do not have any resources to share, but I think that's a really excellent point. And I think it is something that we should address with HR and or wellness, well-being. I know they have support groups for other things. There's like a cancer support group, caregiver support group, things like that. So I think that's a really, really excellent point, and we should definitely follow up on that.
Thank you, Ellen. Is anybody willing to do some outreach to HR in regards to whether or not existing COVID support groups are available? It looks like Chrissy is going to look into that. So thank you, Brian. If there are no other comments on this, I want to circle back to Lisa, who had her hand raised, and then Kit. So, Lisa?
Happy New Year, everyone. So I was just curious. I don't know what month it was, but I believe it was Ellen that asked our sizes for the E8 shirts, and I was just curious if we would have them before the retreat or... I'm just curious. Thanks.
Yeah, that's
sorry, Ellen.
Sorry, that's totally on me. Just kept on putting it to the bottom of my to-do list and never followed up on it. So that's all on me, and I will follow up with Wendy on those shirts today to see if we can get those ordered ASAP. Sorry about that, guys.
Thank you, Ellen. And back to you, Kit, on the retreat.
Yeah, I'm wondering in general if Mary, you know, if we're electing not to have Mary or to meet outside of Mary being able to attend, has Mary ever come to EA meetings and speak to us? I mean, I would love to see that happen. I know I'm sure she has a tight schedule, and this is only so much. I'm sure it's hard to get her scheduled for when how frequently we meet, but. Something I was thinking about.
Yeah, so usually Martha Pollack and Mary Offerman come together once every semester to the employee assembly. They have come this past, early fall and sort of given us a little update. They've asked us to provide committee reports, and it's a good time for us to have an exchange with the president, also with Mary, but we are definitely able, and I'm sure Mary would be willing to just come to an employee assembly meeting, to talk about maybe some of the things that, you know, perhaps human resources has been working on and taking questions from us. So that is definitely a possibility that we can sort of get into. I would prefer that we have, you know, a pretty good agenda and some topics of discussion so that we have an effective conversation with her. And Gina has mentioned in the she used to come by herself once a semester. So maybe we'll try to revisit that. And that used to be separate of Martha's visit. So Andrew, your hand is raised.
I think the only difference is that Mary would always come to our retreats as well, at least in the experience that I have. And the difference between having her at a formal meeting versus a retreat is that it's just us. You know, it's not something that the Cornell Sun is there. It's more of a strategy meeting. So having her at a retreat, I, in my opinion, is a little bit of a different dynamic because we're talking strategy, we're talking about goals for the coming year, those types of things. And so having her at a meeting, if we do it in, you know, in a future meeting that she's available in February, it's just, it's a bit of a different dynamic. And that's just my thought. I don't think it's right or wrong either way, but again, it's just one of those things of reporting versus a strategy meeting, which we typically don't do in an EA meeting.
Thank you, Andrea. Michelle?
So, you know, that's a great point that you bring up, Andrea. We could, you know, Gina's been sending me little messages here. If we wanted to extend our regular meeting on January 20th to have it be a retreat, or on February 3rd if that date was available to Mary, to have her there, that would be great. We can always go into executive session, and that way it lends itself to that dynamic that you were that you bring up, which is important. We are, as someone else brought up, very late in the game of retreat and priorities poll, and given that this has been an extremely unusual year and time, I think we have to look for ways to be more flexible in getting the work of the EA done and having as much participation as we possibly can. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Rochelle. I think you bring up a really great point. And just a point of order to all the newer members, going into executive session, we can vote to go into executive session, and basically that would say anybody who's in this meeting that's not part of the employee assembly would then be removed from the meeting, so that we can sort of have that opportunity to have a discussion with just employee assembly members. I don't believe that's something that we've done here. Usually when we're in a physical space, there might be somebody from the Cornell Sun, there might be, you know, active members of the community, staff members that just want to take part in this meeting, and then they would be asked to leave momentarily while we're in executive session, and then we would bring them back. So that is executive session, just to clarify. Andrea, I see your hand is up. I'm not sure if you still wanted to comment. All right, Kate's hand is physically up.
Okay. I think with executive session, we can invite people beyond the EA. So Mary is not a member of the EA, but we could invite her to participate in an executive session. So I wanted to clarify that you can, by invitation, bring others in.
Thank you. Gina, your hand is physically raised.
Thank you. Yeah, I know, and I should have used my new functionality of being a co-host, able to raise my hand, but it was a little too complicated. But I just wanted to sort of expand on what Kate just said. In addition, if and when you go into an executive session, it can be for an hour. It could be for as long as you need it to be. And what we've done on Zoom meetings is actually create a breakout room for the assembly to move into, so that anybody who's not part of that would just stay in the big room. But again, I think that there are ways to modify the access and privilege of having an off-the-record conversation that we wouldn't record if you did have Mary here and you wanted to have a very casual, not on-the-record conversation. We can make that happen for however long it needs to be.
Thank you. So, Kit, does that help answer your question? I mean, we can invite Mary to an employee assembly meeting. We can have it be an executive session. We can have a more candid conversation with her privately as just employee assembly members.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate all of those clarifications.
Thank you. Thanks. In open session, I want to ask, does anybody have any other topics to bring to the table? I do have a topic I do want to bring to the table. I'm not sure if it necessarily deals with the employee assembly, but it does deal with, you know, student assembly and some things happening around campus. I don't know if you've seen in the news, but there was a student assembly resolution to disarm the police, and the first go around of the resolution, it basically was voted no by, I believe, one vote, and then there were some issues. There were, I think, some petitions to remove certain students from the student assembly, and then the resolution was voted upon. It went through to disarm the police. Around the same time, we did have Chief Honan come to kind of talk about their work here, and I think recently there have been some issues, I think, on the student assembly side with some of the student assembly members, the chair, Grace Wang, and Uche, I forget his last name, receiving some very sort of racist and hateful messaging. And I think there have been calls from Uche to the senior administration to extend some efforts in support of him against some of the threats online that he had been receiving. So I wanted to keep you all informed of that. I don't know if you all had thoughts about this, if you had heard about it, if there's anything you believe that the employee assembly should do. I know it's a very touchy subject, but I did want to just kind of briefly talk about it and kind of get your thoughts on it. Brandon?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you that I think it's a topic of conversation that we as the Employee Assembly should address. I watched a lot of it very closely and was quite shocked at the reaction of the members, both members of the Student Assembly and outside of the Student Assembly, community members, and social media attacks that occurred as a result of it, of the conversation. And it was definitely not what I was expecting in a conversation of that, understanding that it is a sensitive topic that people have very strong opinions on both sides of. What I was just surprised at was that it immediately went to that perspective of providing resulting in racist and very terrible comments being made about the folks who were in support of it. And I think it's a topic that we should consider, because ultimately the Student Assembly has said, as students who are being on campus, feel students of color specifically, feel that the police, Cornell police, having weapons at all times is a subject that they feel less protected. In essence, they feel threatened by that perspective. And in the United States, with the amount of violence that happens across the United States, specifically relating to people of color, I think it's an important topic. And I think it would be something that I would definitely be open to and would like to continue the dialogue around that here in the Employee Assembly. And I think we should take up the conversation.
Thank you, Brendan. Does anybody else have any feedback on this or want to add to this discussion? Christy, I see your hand is physically raised.
I completely agree with Brandon. As an added point, I think that in this country, we're struggling right now with civil discourse, with civilly discussing and sharing ideas that might not be in alignment. And I did not bring up with Chief Honan the sentiment of concern I had for the way he was treated in the student assembly meeting. I think that it's okay to disagree with him and to voice very strongly the many ways in which you feel uncomfortable with the approaches that they take. But we need to demonstrate on this campus civil discourse. And I feel that it's missing often in the engagement between faculty and staff. And in this case, it's kind of was put right on the front page. And so I think there's a way that we could highlight both issues at the same time. We could demonstrate civil discussion and civil discourse around a concept that have vastly different beliefs, and people can have very strong opinions, and model that while representing a very anti-racist position and demonstrating that we as an employee assembly believe both of these things can exist at the same time. And I don't have the answer of how, but I feel like it would be a really important place for us to be
Thank you, Christy. I think you bring up a really great point. And so I'm going to move on to Jessica and then Michelle. I see your hands are raised.
I feel like in my work last year on the elections committee that we represent the police, like their staff that we represent. So would that affect, I was wondering if anyone knew that off the top of their head for sure. And two, even though they don't have a specific representative. And then two, how would that affect a conversation that we have or that we lead or participate in?
Brian is the representative for the university police.
If I may, it's for the staff that's non-union of the university police.
Michelle?
Perhaps this is an opportunity for us to host a forum on civil discourse and invite folks to have this conversation and to give, you know, tools for folks to learn the fine art of civil discussion. And I know that there's the three courses that are mandatory to have completed by September for NCU Learn for I'm remiss on what the diversity and inclusion courses. So I'm like almost completed all of them. And I think that if you all have not started the process of those courses, it's a great opportunity to learn from our leaders in that space. One is Anthony Sis, Angela Winfield, and Jennifer, I remember it's on her last name, but
Seika.
Angela, did you say Jennifer Fonseca?
Yes, Jennifer, yes, exactly. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I want to encourage everyone to start those if they haven't already done so. If you're looking for ways to expand on your understanding of diversity and inclusion and your understanding of how to communicate it during, you know, difficult situations, I think that those three courses are a good start. But I also think that, you know, if the EA wants to show our support of our students and our underrepresented students and staff and faculty, I think a forum is maybe our best opportunity to do that. So I would recommend that we work on that possibly. Maybe the executive.
I think you have a great idea. I really like the idea of a staff forum on civil discourse and on maybe touching upon some of these subjects as a way maybe for employee assembly members to be in support, of the students, but also recognizing that we are in this position where, as Jessica mentioned, we are employees ourselves and part of our group are the campus police on campus. And so how do we sort of mitigate, these conversations? How do we figure out the right way to kind of navigate these conversations and show support for all groups? Because I don't think that I'm not really sure if I would be the best person to kind of have that conversation, but I think it's a really great idea. And I see Brandon's got his hand raised.
Oh, there we go. So I just think that I love the idea of a conversation around civil discourse, and I think this particular subject is an important one to have, and not necessarily as a spinoff from a civil discourse conversation. I think the two are both important, and I think that trying to approach this particular topic from that agenda is not necessarily, in my opinion, the best approach. I think this topic is one that deserves its own attention. And I say that as well from an approach of concern, as you know, as having seen the conversation devolve to what it did in the student assembly. So I'm not realistic in thinking that we as the employee assembly can take this up and not have the de-evolution of conversation, because I wouldn't have expected in the student assembly. And so I think it's, you know, there's a moment of hesitancy around taking on this subject, and there's a level of importance to it as well. And I think that we as the employee assembly provide a very, the ability to have a different perspective on things from, as opposed to the student perspective, the employee perspective, to understand how we can best approach this conversation. Because as it was in the assembly, student assembly, if I take it to the hyperbolic levels, it was, if you're against this resolution, you're racist. And if you're against it, you're racist. And then on the other side, you had the sort of perspective of, if we take the weapons away from the police, we ultimately are all at danger at any given moment. So these sort of hyperbolic statements that put the two pieces on opposite ends. And I think that at times there were glimpses of there being conversation in the middle around how do we approach specific topics and specific ways in which the police respond to different scenarios. And I think that those sort of conversations, that falls in the level of if we can get that civil discourse to provide a more fruitful conversation. So I would just urge that we not necessarily lump these two topics together. I think they're both very important. And I do think that this particular conversation has its own merits that should be individually approached as well.
Thank you, Brendan. Andrew?
I think it's a topic of discussion about trying to figure out what the employee assembly stands for, and whether or not we want to take on the issue of disarming the police. Or it seems like the concern that we have is that Uche, as well as Kat, were the two people, I think, that worked on the resolution from the student assembly, and a resolution and the attacks that they faced, not just at the student assembly, but I think it was taken to a much higher level. And I think as the employee assembly, it would be something that we talk about how, in support of them, and how it's similar to what we saw from VP Ryan Lombardi, who talked about, you know, how that just has no place here. And I think that trying to provide support to our fellows in shared governance about how they put themselves out there looking to do the right thing, and the backlash that they've received, I think seems to be something that's perfectly within the realm without us then, because it sounds like people are talking about supporting the student assembly in the resolution versus supporting the inclusion and the aspects of diversity in our shared governance partners. And it seems like that might be in the direction to go, because I think if we take on an additional resolution of the employee assembly talking about disarming the police, that's going to take a lot more conversation, in my opinion.
Any other commentary in regards to this? Brandon?
I don't mean to take up all the space on this one. It's just something that definitely passionate about having the conversation. I guess the question I might have is which, as the employee assembly, and obviously we have our committees, if this is something that would fall within the realm of a specific committee, because I don't think we can achieve we don't do that here. We're not here to have a long debate and go through the process, whereas in the committee, conversations would allow us the opportunity to build a dialogue and begin the conversation. So I don't know if you or any of the committee chairs might have an opinion on where this particular topic may fall.
Thank you, Brendan. I think that's a good suggestion to move this conversation into a committee. My suggestion would be, I believe the Welfare Committee does review issues of diversity and inclusion, but this also could be an executive committee, it could be assigned to the executive committee as well. I think for now, I think, Michelle, you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, we could have a joint executive wellness committee meeting, just a special meeting for this, just to discuss the ways in which we can, tackle this issue without, getting directly involved in this disarmament issue. We want to show our students that we support them, that we don't condone the actions that have been brought against them, and that, their meeting quickly devolved, I think, out of, when people start going to hyperbole and extremes, it's out of fear more than any, and fear and ignorance. And so I think that it's an opportunity, our assembly has an opportunity to sort of work on how to have these hard discussions and do them civilly. So maybe it is a joint committee special meeting or something.
That's a great suggestion. I will get in touch with Christy and try to get something on the calendar for this. We have 4 minutes left. Is there anything else anybody would want to bring to the table for open discussion? If not, we can end the meeting early. It's really up to y'all. Christy?
Just very briefly, I don't want to take too much time, but I did note in chat, I raised the issue of the lack of university guidance around continued employee work from home support. If there is anyone who can share concerns being raised in your units or by managers or by staff directly around that, please share it with me. We will be having continued conversations with HR around the impact of withholding that direction and that guidance. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or feedback? Seeing no additional hands raised, I think we all have some things to take away from this discussion, and I look forward to working with you all moving forward, and I hope you all have a happy and healthy new year. With that, I motion to end the meeting at 1:27. Do I get a second? Brian, do I have any dissent? Seeing no dissent, I am going to motion, this motion has passed, and this meeting at currently it is 1:28. Thank you all for joining. Take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.